More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, big feelings. Tired of your emotions taking over or complicating everything? Let us help you get the skills you need to cultivate a healthier emotional life. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, big feelings. We're talking about emotions. You know, it's not just little kids who have big feelings. Grown-ups can have big feelings, too.
Sometimes those little kid emotions are what give us big feelings as grown-ups, that's for sure.
Truth. Well, if you are tired of your emotions taking over or complicating everything, or someone you're close to is struggling with handling their feelings well, whether that means they're taking them out on you or just sort of spinning out themselves and you're not sure how to help them. Either way, we want to help process those big feelings and help you have a healthier emotional life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number 877-573-7825.
So we're asking you today, do your emotions seem to take over before you even realize what's happening? Have you ever snapped at your spouse or your kids or your coworker and then thought, where did that come from? Do you feel like your emotions are running the show in your life and you can't figure out how to get back in the driver's seat? Are you tired of people telling you to just calm down or everything's going to be fine when you don't even know how to make any of that happen? Is there someone you care about, your spouse, your younger or adult child, a family member, or a friend who is losing the battle with their emotions, and you're not sure how to help them? Let us help you learn to work with the emotions that God gave you instead of being run over by them.
Yeah, and look, this is a universal struggle. You know, this is something that I deal with just like anybody else. But you know, the good news is there are ways to have a healthier relationship with your feelings. And we don't have to be afraid of them or run over by them. Mm-hmm. We can see them, even those quote-unquote, you know, negative emotions, those anger, frustration, resentment, anxiety, all the rest of it. We can learn to befriend them. And learn to use them as God intended when He created them. We're going to unpack all that throughout the course of the show. But give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And let us help you have a healthier relationship with your feelings and help the people around you have a healthier relationship with their emotions as well.
Well, and it's important as an act of charity to help those around us cope with what's going on in their lives, help them with their emotions, help them with the practicalities of things that might be bringing those emotions to the forefront. But also we have to realize that sometimes those emotions that other people are having that are running them over really are affecting our well-being. If we have a spouse or a child, somebody we live with or care for, that's constantly taking their emotions out on us, that it's draining us, that it's making us feel depleted or less than or even frightened in some way of their big emotions, it's important for us to be able to get those skills so that we can help them and benefit from that ourselves because they're not taking everything out on us because of their emotions. So If emotions, yours or someone else's, are complicating your life today, you've landed on the right place. Give us a call and we'll help you get in touch with God's grace and some new skills to handle it all. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, you might reasonably wonder, how could some theology help me manage my feelings better? They don't really seem to go all that well together. Well, here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we took everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all the rest, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more abundant, healthy life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that God created every structure of our body to work for our good, including our emotions. Emotions aren't the enemy. They're a monitoring station that God built into our body. They collect information about what's happening to us, physically, relationally, and spiritually, and they send that information up to our thinking brain so we can respond well. When the system works the way God designed it, emotions are incredibly useful. The problem isn't that we have big feelings. It's that the fall disrupted that system, making it hard to hear what our feelings are trying to tell us and respond in a way that's healthy and holy.
The thing is, when we're under too much stress, or when the hits keep coming faster than we can process them, that thinking part of our brain starts to shut down, and the emotional reactive brain takes over. That's when we shift from what I call the solution-focused mindset into the misery-making mindset. So when we're in that solution-focused mindset, we can feel our feelings fully. We're not denying them, we're not pushing them down or pretending they're not there. We're feeling them. But we're able to still think through the right thing to do, step by step. And those feelings are informing the decision in a healthy way. But when we fall into that misery-making mindset, we end up flooded. We can see the problem, but we tend to feel powerless to do anything about it. Instead, we just react instead of responding. And the fact is that most of our responses end up making things worse for us and everybody around us.
If that sounds familiar, and I think it does for a lot of us, it doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. It means your system is overwhelmed. And rather than running around trying to fix everything and digging a bigger hole for yourself in the process, you need to learn how to bring your emotional temperature down so that your thinking brain can come back online. That's what lets you solve problems instead of just reacting to them. God gave us the capacity to do that. We just need to practice it.
And the first step is to slow down. And I mean that literally and physically. It's not to calm down. It's to slow down. Because if we can just speak a little slower than we feel like we want to, or move a little slower, like as we're reaching for the coffee cup or walking across the room, you know, then that enables our body to kind of, our brain to sort of tap the brake, which then allows the rest of our brain to say, oh, I need to slow down a little bit. And that's what starts to help you calm down. Then, step two, bring it all to God. Lord, I got a lot of feelings about this. Help me hear your voice. Show me how to respond to these feelings in a way that brings out the best in me and everyone involved. And then, instead of running around trying to fix everything at once, the second question to ask is, what's one small step I could take right now to get my thinking brain back online and make even a small positive difference in the situation these feelings are reacting to? If I can do those two things, that's how I can learn to start cooperating with God's design of my brain. And the more we practice this, the less our emotions end up running the show, and the more they can do the job God actually created them to do. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Big Feelings, as we talk about those times when our emotions tend to take over or complicate things, or the people around us are having a hard time managing their feelings. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring to you our emotions, and we realize that they are meant to be a gift, but unfortunately too often our feelings get us into trouble. Either they make us feel overwhelmed, or they cause us to spin out, or feel powerless and stuck. But you created our emotions, as your servant St. John Paul reminds us, to work for our good and the good of others around us, that just like every other part of our body, they're meant to be a gift. Help us to relate to our feelings in ways that are fruitful and healthy, in ways that help us to hear your voice, to identify the concerns you're trying to bring to our attention, and to respond to them in ways that invite us to be our best selves, that challenge the people around us to be their best selves, and enable us to use the gifts and talents you've given us to make even a small positive difference in the situation. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Big Feelings, as we talk about managing our emotions and helping the people we care about handle theirs a little more effectively, too. If you're tired of your emotions taking over or complicating things for you, or not sure how to support someone you care about, whether that's a younger child who's wrestling with tantrums or fears or self-doubt, or your spouse or other people who are just really struggling in their emotional life and you're not sure how to be there for them, let's talk it out today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Well, right now, Greg, we have a question from Natalie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She's sending this in because she is going to have to listen later because she has to go back to her classroom after her break. And we are praying for you, Natalie, as she writes, I've been a middle school teacher for 9 years. I used to love it, but this year something has changed. I come home angry almost every day, and not just frustrated, genuinely angry. A kid talks back, and I feel my whole body tighten up. A parent sends a rude email, and I'm still seething about it at dinner. Last month, I had a particularly tough day, and I ended up in my car crying at the end of the day. The thing is, I know these situations aren't that serious. 12 and 13-year-olds are going to be difficult. That's the job. My reactions are way out of proportion to what's actually happening, and I can't figure out why. I would blame my cycle, but my reactions aren't limited to that particular time. I've been to my doctor, and she says everything seems normal and wants to put me on an antidepressant. But I really would rather not do that if I don't have to. And I don't feel depressed, just angry. Even so, I need to do something. I used to let these things roll off my back, and now everything gets under my skin and stays there. How do I get back to who I was? I'd appreciate your thoughts. And that's Natalie in Michigan.
Natalie, thank you so much for the question. And, you know, I'm so sorry that you're wrestling with. And, you know, look, the reality is you got a tough job. Teachers have a tough job, and I think it's harder than it's ever been for teachers. And, you know, and so a lot of these reactions that you're having, I'm sure, are due to just frustrating things, because things are frustrating.
And I do want to say that to begin with, that when you're comparing your reactions now to times before, across the board, we are seeing that people are ruder than they've ever been. There's more disrespect than there's ever been in the classroom. So what you're talking about is a reaction to the injustice that you're feeling from the way your students and their parents are treating you. So let's not just, you know, say, well, now your emotions are more elevated. The situation has gotten more intense, and perhaps that's why you're reacting a bit more. But I understand that you can't continue to have those reactions and continue to work.
So I don't have enough information to give you a comprehensive sort of solution to this. I'm going to offer some general comments that I think will help give you a sense of direction. Let's start with the last part. You made the point that you don't think you're depressed, you just seem angry. That can actually be an indication of depression.
Hmm.
There's something called an atypical depression, where you express anger more than sadness. Actually, men tend to fall into that camp more often than not, and that's why men don't either get diagnosed with depression or misdiagnosed, because it tends to show up as anger in them rather than sadness. And that anger is really an outward expression of frustration. You know, I feel sad, I feel powerless, I feel stuck in some way.
And all of those feelings make one angry when you really think about them.
Yeah, so some people respond to that sense of stuckness and frustration by shutting down, which is the classic presentation of depression. Other people, a lot of men, now you, are showing that sign, that frustration outwardly. So it's possible that you're depressed. I can't say that for sure, but that's a possibility. In terms of the medication, I don't want to discourage you from being on the medication. I think that can be useful, and research shows that when people are dealing with depression, a combination of medication and counseling together is the gold standard for treatment. I would not recommend going on the medication without getting some counseling support first. So that might be your next step if these suggestions that I'm about to give you aren't cutting it, all right? And because that counselor can then help you evaluate the best way forward. So in terms of what to do now, though, to get the information that you need, I'd like you to start tracking when you have a better day. Not a great day, not even necessarily a good day, but a less bad day.
Right? Less bad day. I love that definition.
But just anything that's better, right? So you could even break it up. Say, between the start of school and lunchtime, and then lunchtime to the end of the day. You know, what makes that morning work? What makes that afternoon work? When it was a better morning, when it was a better afternoon, when you woke up in a better mood, and you don't want to look for the causes of it, because as soon as we start thinking, well, what caused me to have a better day, then we get stuck because, I can't think, I don't know what
mm-hmm.
we edit ourselves. But if you're able to say what attended that better morning, what are the things that happened alongside of that better morning? What do I notice the differences being that I think came along with that better morning or that better afternoon? Write them down, and then ask yourself whether they were responsible for my better feeling or feeling less stuck or more powerful or more effective or not. How could I replicate those things intentionally? What would I do to make sure that those things were more likely to happen? Because what you're trying to do is beginning to get some resources to identify what helps me feel better. And how could I take charge of that, of making them happen consistently? Because what tends to happen when we don't feel great is we either dismiss the times when we feel a little better, or we say, that was pleasant, thank God that happened, but we don't take stock of it, and we don't think we can do something to replicate it.
Well, and I want to
give away our power.
We do, and I want to point to something that I think we need to bring out in the language you just used, because what we're talking about is really big feelings. And Natalie's feeling so angry that she's either, at home festering in the anger or in her car crying. These are big feelings that are a reaction to things. But when things go better, because good feelings are rarely as loud and explosive as negative feelings, we often don't give them any credence or look at them at all, just because that bigness of the negative feelings overshadows.
No, absolutely. But once you start writing down, and it's going to be important to write these down, when you start writing down the differences that make the difference for you, that's going to start giving you some insight into why the harder days are harder. Because you'll start understanding, these are the things that help me do better. That's why they're important to me. That's why they're significant. And on the days they don't happen, that's why I have a harder time of it. Start there, okay? If you find, you may find that that's all it takes to start getting yourself back on track, because it's a really powerful technique. But if you find that you're having a hard time doing it, or it's not quite cutting the mustard, then that's where you might want to speak with a counselor about getting some additional tools and insights on how you can really get back to yourself and evaluate whether medication would be appropriate for you. And to that end, if you'd like to work with us to find kind of faith-filled ways to respond to these challenges, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for the question. I hope that these suggestions will get you started. We are here for you to walk you through it. If you need more personalized support, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And thanks again for asking. All right, we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about dealing with emotions, either yours or helping someone you care about deal with theirs. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Corda offers Catholic candles that translate the lives of the saints into scents. There are candles for the Holy Family, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Therese of Lisieux, Padre Pio, and more. And they come boxed with the story behind the scent. Corda is a Catholic small business run by a husband and wife team, and each coconut wax candle is handcrafted. More information can be found at cordacandles.com. That's C-O-R-D-A candles.com.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, big feelings. We're talking about our emotional life. You know, as Christians, we have kind of a complicated relationship with our feelings. I mean, people do in general. But I think as Christians especially, we end up not just having complicated feelings, we end up feeling guilty about it. We feel like maybe we're disappointing God by being anxious or frustrated or sad or any of the other things. And so we want to talk about how we can have a healthy, holy relationship with our emotions. Let's call it 877-573-7825. Of course, we're also talking about the people in your life who are struggling with their feelings, whether that is a child who's wrestling with tantrums or self-doubts or fears.
Heaven knows we've been seeing a lot of that lately on the Catholic HON, the Catholic Home app, where a lot of parents are experiencing that, especially with 3- and 4-year-olds who are really having those big feelings. It's making mom and dad have some big feelings as well.
Well, that's true. And actually, we've had some conversations on the Catholic HOM app about couples, too, who are struggling with their emotions, because we have a marriage channel on the Catholic HOM app. And if you'd like to get more support in, you know, really having a healthier relationship with emotions in your home, you know, again, either with your kids or with your in your marriage, the Catholic HOM app is there to help. We provide professional coaching through the app to help you in your marriage and deal with those parenting issues, living your faith at home more abundantly. We've got tons of creative resources to help make living faith at home fun and accessible, and also giving you the skills to build a more dynamic domestic church. Check it out. It's the Catholic HOM app. You can get it wherever you get your apps. Subscribe today and learn more about how you can build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. That's Catholic, H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. As we're talking about, you know, dealing with big feelings here today on More to Life, I think one of the most important things, well, I'll give you two things. The first one is recognizing what we shared earlier already, which is that our feelings are not the enemy.
Yeah.
That God gave us, they can
feel
like it.
They feel like it sometimes.
And when we feel like that our feelings are the enemy, we end up trying to shut them down. We try to self-medicate, either with bad habits or with chemicals. We end up trying to kind of talk ourselves out of them and ignore them and push them away. If you're able to say, look, these feelings are meant to be my friend. You know, God gave me these feelings. He doesn't want me to have the relationship I have with them, or he doesn't want me to let these feelings take me over, because as we shared earlier, feelings are meant to be that sort of monitoring station that give us good information and help us respond rather than react to things. But step one is realizing that our feelings are meant to be our friends. The second thing to keep in mind, right, is that having feelings about feelings is a bigger problem. So, for example, if it's one thing if I feel anxious about something, if I feel guilty for being anxious about the thing, now I've got an anxiety disorder or depression, right? If I feel, sad, and then I feel sad about feeling sad, well, now I'm despairing.
Yeah, because it all spins into bigger and bigger, problems in our lives because of our thoughts about them.
That's right. And so when we layer one feeling on top of another feeling on top of another feeling, that's when things get complicated. Recognize that whatever you're feeling is okay. Bring it to God. Ask him to help you learn to deal with it. Lord, teach me how to respond to this feeling in a way that glorifies you and helps me be my best self. Make that your prayer and let him guide you step by step. Let's talk more about how to do that in the situations you find yourself in when More to Life continues. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Our 20th anniversary Danube River cruise was spectacular. Due to popular demand, we have again chartered our own exclusive and brand new ship for a Rhine River cruise to four European countries of the most beautiful churches in Catholic history in Europe. The trip is already half sold out. Join us in June 2027. Immerse yourself in the rich Catholic heritage of Europe.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the Travel Link.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heartsick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 8 verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets, all the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Take a moment to measure your stress level right now on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 or 2 means you're completely relaxed. 5 means you've got some concerns, but you're mostly feeling good. At 8, you're getting angry. And at 10, you're feeling and acting outraged. This little exercise is something happily married couples regularly do. They monitor their emotional temperature so they can take steps to lower it before it gets too high. You see, when your temperature gets higher than a 7, cortisol and adrenaline flood your body, shutting down the rational problem-solving part of your brain. And when that happens, your response is likely to make the situation worse, not better. Happily married couples recognize this and take responsibility for regulating their own emotional temperature. They don't blame their spouse for their poor reaction. They realize they're the only one who can control that. If you struggle with regulating your emotional temperature, take heart in the fact that police officers, firefighters, and others have learned to control their response in really stressful situations. And you can too. To learn how, check out our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or, if you want more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, big feelings. We're talking about emotions. How can we have a healthier relationship with our feelings? How can we help the people we care about have a healthier relationship with theirs? Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's go right now to Colleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Colleen. Welcome to Words of Life. What's going on?
Hello. I wanted to share something that a priest told me one time. So I told him in confession, I said, you know, with the worry and the hurt, I just feel myself hesitating to pray because it hurts too much. Mm. And he said, no, what happens if you pray, he says. And I said, yes, if I pray, I work through almost really to the other side where the world opens up to me. And I know I'm not alone, especially, you know, St. Monica, St. Rita, they all enter the picture. And it just is a really healing, hopeful, calming, you know, release of my worry and my hurt. So I just wanted to share that. It's always been really helpful for me.
Yeah, the idea of him saying, you know, push through, basically, you know, what happens when you do pray and encouraging you to push through is true. I'd like to add some emphasis here on the why of that. Because when we say, oh, it hurts too much, I want to turn away from God, that's really Satan's temptation to keep us away from God. But when we, and I have to say it's often multiplied by messages we've gotten as we grow up, which is you should be very pious and you should use very holy words and you should never really complain to God because he's all powerful and he might, you know, all these things that kind of run through our head that Satan loves to distort. But really, what you're doing is saying, I am going to trust in you, God. I'm going to trust that you love me enough to hear all my thoughts, all my feelings, to be there for me, even when I'm angry at you, because I feel like you could have done something about what I'm going through, and I'm going to turn to you rather than let Satan push me away from you. And then, of course, what you're doing is inviting the Holy Spirit into all of it so that you can deepen your relationship with God. You can find ways to find solutions. You can feel that sense of kinship with the communion of saints that you're talking about, Colleen. So what your priest is advising you to do, and you're doing so successfully, is saying, basically, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to share honestly everything I'm going through with you.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you called in with your experience as an encouragement to others who, you know, are having those spiritual experiences where they're feeling, you know, frustrated in their prayer life. I want to talk about three of the most common reasons that prayer hurts. The first one you alluded to, you know, we would naturally rather just avoid all the stuff. I don't want to think about it, right? I don't want to think about the hard stuff. It's hurtful.
It's all I'm thinking about, and if I have to actually bring it into words, I'm afraid it's going to hurt even more.
You know, and so I don't want to pray about this stuff because I don't want to think about it, right? So that's number one. And in that case, it really is best to push through because, as you pointed out, that forces us to think through things that we really need to think about. And will actually improve our lives because we give God those particular problems and he gives us the grace to deal with them and think through them. And that's a healthy thing to do rather than running away and avoiding stuff. The second reason, though, that the prayer can hurt is when we're not being entirely honest with God. And you were speaking to this, Lisa. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this sort of idea that prayer should look a certain way, that it should be, you know, have all the window dressing and be all really pretty. And we're going to do this nice prayer for God.
And very polite, and you never acknowledge any of your negative feelings. I know I kind of grew up with that. I grew up with a mother who was very like, she was just very like, you have to talk to God a certain way because he might get mad at you kind of thing. That was her mindset. And then I married you. And you were raised completely differently. You had an incredible spiritual life since you were a young kid. And you were like, honest with God. And I was terrified when you were honest with God. It's like, okay, if I get too close, I'm going to get hit by the lightning bolt.
Yeah.
But what I saw is you never got hit by the lightning bolt. You actually got closer and closer to God when you were honest with him. And it got us through a lot of difficult times of grief and things like that in our lives. So it really broadened my perspective on the kind of deep relationship one can have with God.
Yeah, so the reason that prayer hurts in that case is because we're not being real, and then we mm-hmm. start being resentful at God for not letting us be real, but we're not even trying. So
I'm being polite, I'm doing all the things, and why isn't he answering me? But we're not being honest.
Right, and God really wants an honest relationship with us. He would rather us yell at him and call him names and beat on his chest and scream and holler and talk about how much we hate him than not talk to him or just be polite. Because when we do that, we are exposing the wound to the divine physician.
Yeah.
That's who God is. He's the divine physician. And he can't treat the wound if we are hiding it behind the polite Band-Aid.
Yeah, I want to build on your metaphor. We happen to have an incredible doctor. Our family doctor is this wonderful, wonderful, great Catholic man, probably one of the most empathetic and intelligent doctors I've ever met. And a lot of people hold him in such high esteem that it's hard for them to kind of tell him their real problems. But he's so capable of helping them if they would just go into his office and tell him what's wrong instead of trying to be polite in case they bump into him in the supermarket or try to impress them with their ability to cope. And it's very much the same thing. And just like when we have a small child who's going through something and is maybe crying and yelling and kicking, we want to help that child through it. We don't want to say, no, 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 I only want you as your best self, because we love our child and God loves us a zillion times more.
So be honest, show God the hurt. That's the second way to stop making prayer hurt. The third reason that prayer hurts is because we keep asking God to take the thing away and it doesn't go away. And I find in those times that God really wants us to do with that is to ask him what he wants us to do about it. Now you might say, well, then why do I even have to pray about it?
Mm.
Well, and I use this metaphor all the time. And when I was a kid, I had terrible math anxiety. I wanted my parents to just do the math problems for me. And I'd sit at the table and I'd cry and I'd fuss and it was awful. And my parents would never do the math for me. They'd sit down next to me and they'd help me calm down. And then they'd walk me through the steps. A lot of times that's what God wants to do with us. You know, it's not that he's going to abandon us to handle the problem all by ourselves. He wants to walk with us so that we can stop being afraid, so that he can show us how to be competent, how to not be afraid of things anymore, how he's given us gifts to use. And he's going to walk with us step by step and show us that stuff. So the prayer when we're in pain because we keep saying, God, take this away, take this away, take this away, and it doesn't go away. The second thing we need to be praying at that same time is, okay, take it away, Lord, if it's your will. But if not, show me how to respond to this. Show me how to respond to this in a way that will help me be my best self, in a way that will challenge the people around me to be their best self too, and glorify you. Because those things start giving us hints on how God wants us to respond.
Yeah, we're literally asking this great teacher to teach us how to be our best selves. We're not saying, I'll go back to God once I've become my best self and learned how to do it by myself. We're actually going to him because he knows exactly where he wants to take us and who we are supposed to be, and allowing him to guide us step by step through it.
Now, I will share a fourth bonus reason that prayer is painful.
They just keep coming.
Yeah, well, and this comes out of me doing what I just shared with you. Okay, so I'm saying, okay, God, take it away, it doesn't go away. So then I say, all right, Lord, fine. If you can take it away, please take it away. But if not, show me how to respond to this in a way that will help me be my best self and challenge the people around me to be their best self too. And I still don't get anything. And now I'm really mad at God because I'm doing all the things. I'm doing everything I would tell everybody else to do, and it's still not working. Well, what I've learned is the reason for that is because I know what I need to do, and I don't want to do it. Okay? That I know in my heart of
our
hearts.
Inner pouty teenager.
You know, what
out,
the thing, yeah. I know what God's actually asking me to do that would help me be my best self or challenge the people around me to be their best selves too. And I don't want to do it because it's scary or because it's painful or because it makes me feel vulnerable. And I don't want that. So then I get mad at God for asking me to do that thing. But when I get over my big bad self and I do the thing, it gets better. So Colleen, you know, to go back to your point, you know, when you said that, you know, you used to be in that place where sometimes it just hurt too much to pray and your priest told you to power through that. He was absolutely right. I wanted to break that down, though, because there are different ways to power through that are sometimes more productive than others.
Yeah. And I will say that some people might hear what Colleen was saying. And even though you were incredibly articulate about how you're praying and how it benefits you, a lot of people would, if they were in the same sacramental situation, would hear the priest's advice and just do rote prayer without any emotion, without any real communication with God. Oh, I just have to pray my way through it, so I'm going to do 15 rosaries a day. But never really share their heart or their thoughts or their needs with God.
And it is better to keep whatever your spiritual practices are than not.
It's better than walking away entirely, but it's not as efficacious.
Yeah. So I hope so for folks, for you, Colleen, who, you know, shared a wonderful insight, but for anybody else who's listening and for whom prayer hurts, I hope that breakdown kind of helps explain why that might be and some different ways to respond to it that can help it not just hurt less, but actually bear real fruit. Thanks for the question, Colleen. We really appreciate your call. And if you'd like to share any other insights or questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. 877-573-7825. We're talking about big feelings today on More to Life. Are you tired of your emotions kind of running away with you or struggling to know how to help someone else deal with their emotions? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 46, verse 10.
Be still and know that I am God.
That's, you know, that's such a powerful prayer. And it really speaks to what we're trying to do here today. The idea that we need, in the presence of our big feelings, to learn how to be still and to let God into that space. You know, all the research on managing emotions, when we talk about, you know, they use the word mindfulness, so we're not going to get into all that right now. But the reality is, the more we can create a space between our emotional reaction and our behavioral responses, the healthier we are. And this verse about being still and knowing that I am God is really about creating that space between your emotional reactions and your behavioral responses. Because the bigger that space is, the more choice you have about how you respond, and the more thoughtful you can be about the responses you make, so you can be sure that whatever you do actually produces healthy results.
And again, this is about taking everything to God and allowing Him to comfort us enough to be still. It's very much that imagery of a loving parent taking their crying baby or toddler and holding that child and rocking that child till the child can be calm and know that their parent loves them and is taking care of them. And we have the most amazing Father who's there to love us and nurture us through all this and help us to be still first so that He can do all that great work in us. We're not meant to just tough it up and do it alone and pretend to be still and stoic. It's about allowing Him to bring us to a real spiritual stillness.
Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. All right, we are taking your calls when More to Life continues after the break about big feelings as we talk about having a healthier, holier emotional life and helping the people we care about deal with their feelings in a better way. 877-573-7825. Back with more of your calls coming up right after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chan, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthaymaybeonefilm.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about emotions on our show titled Big Feelings. If you're tired of your feelings taking over or complicating everything, or struggling to help someone you care about manage their emotions, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Hey, Anne, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, how are you? I have a question, if you can help me see how to deal with my husband. He is very, he gets mad really easy. He tends to be very negative. He reacts to everything like in catastrophe, and I am quite the opposite. So my question is, should I let him be and shout and get angry and just walk away, or confront him? Because if I confront him, it usually ends in a big fight. And because once it's hard for me to get mad, but once I'm mad, I just
Sure. And let me ask you this, just so we can kind of tease out what's happening here. When he gets angry and explosive, is it a lot of words and a lot going on, but it's directed on what's just going on in his own head, or is he taking it out on you or your children? Is there an attack on you in any way, shape, or form, even verbally?
No, it's just, he takes it out on me, not, it's not an insult or any attack or anything. He's just, makes me feel like everything is my fault, whatever. My kids are all grown up, they're gone, and anything that happens with them or whatever, it comes to me with, it feels like it's my fault.
So will he, and he'll say that it's your fault, or you just get that impression because he's angry?
Yeah, just the way that he's saying it, it's like, why did this happen? Why did you let it happen? Or what, you know, like...
Okay, so he will why did you let it happen? Yeah, all right. Okay, and you're asking, should you confront that or should let? Like, can I ask you? And I just want to double check. Do you feel safe with him? You don't feel threatened by any in any way? Okay.
All right. No. I feel
that's
safe.
A qualifier.
No. Once he finished exploding, he's okay, and then he just says, "I'm sorry,"
Okay. All right. Well, good. So, yes, I think you should confront it under these conditions. Like, again, if you weren't feeling safe, I'd be giving you some different advice. But assume, based on what you're sharing here, yes, I think you should confront it. But it all depends on how you confront it, right? If you just kind of come at him in a defensive way, where you say, you know, stop being so angry at me, or that will cause him to blow up even more and cause him. Now, there are times when you need to set that kind of a limit, by the way. But before you get there, let me offer some thoughts on how you can approach this. Okay. What you're describing is what I was talking about earlier in the show about the misery-making mindset. When we fall into the, and that's where our thinking brain goes offline, we flood quickly, our thinking brain goes offline, and the emotional brain takes over. And at that point, we can't solve problems. It's not just that we don't want to, it's that we can't solve problems. All we're thinking about is, I need to either get away from this problem or give this problem to somebody else. And that's part of our fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response, right? So the emotional brain doesn't solve problems, it just manages them by either avoiding them or pushing them off on somebody else. And your husband's temperament is such that when he goes into that misery-making mindset and he floods, he wants to find somebody else to give it to. And you're that person. Don't take the package. Don't sign for the package he's trying to deliver on your emotional doorstep, okay? But you can still be compassionate about it. The reason I share this with you is because you need to understand that reaction isn't really about you. If you weren't in the room, he'd yell at the lamp. Or he'd yell at the dog, or whatever. He'd yell at himself. That doesn't mean that it's okay that he acts that way. We want to help him through that. But it also means it's not about you, so you don't have to take it personally. So the best way to respond to that is to validate the emotion, and, you know, empathize with the feeling, but redirect toward solutions. Don't take any of it personally. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't respond to it. Don't actually address anything he says. Because when he's saying, you know, Ann, why did you let that happen, and the kids are this, and you that, and what he's really saying, and what anybody's saying when they're in their misery-making mindset, is, I'm hurt, and I'm frustrated, and I don't know what to do about it. You know, that person might be calling you a poopy head, or saying, I hate the world. What they're really saying is, I'm hurt, and I'm angry, and I don't know what to do about it, okay? So your job at that point is to say, hey, listen, I get that you're upset. I get you're frustrated about this. I see that, and I'm so sorry you're struggling with that. Help me figure out what we can do together to start working on this and responding to this in some productive way. What do we need to do? And then at first he's going to be like, well, Ann, you this and you the other. Don't take it personally. Don't respond to what he's saying. No, again, I'm hearing you. I hear how upset you are. You're hurt. You're angry, you don't know what to do about it. Yelling at me isn't going to fix anything. What do we need to do together? I'm on your side. What do we need to do together to start making a plan to address this? So you're showing him it's safe to react that way, but it's not okay to react that way. And when he stops the tantrum, you're ready to work with him to figure it out. But you're not going to engage in anything he says otherwise until then. Okay? Because anytime, if you address the content at all, that will reward the behavior and give him the impression that he's right, that it is your fault, right? And then the more you try to defend yourself and say, well, it's not my fault, and here's the 10 reasons why it's not, the more convinced he is it's your fault. So by not taking it personally, empathizing with the emotion but redirecting toward solution, you've got a framework for managing this without kind of addressing it directly. Now, if he does keep pushing on it, the next step would be to say, hey, look, I love you. This isn't okay. I am not your enemy. I want to work with you to fix this. And when you can get yourself to a place where you can talk to me respectfully, I'm here for you. But I can't keep doing this. Right? So step one is that empathize with the emotions, redirect toward solution. You're being compassionate. You're being curious. And you can maybe do a round or two of that. If he keeps pressing on it, though, that's where you need to make the implicit explicit by saying, you're treating me like your enemy. I am not your enemy. I'm your wife. I'm your friend. I'm your partner in this. And I'm here for you when you can speak to me respectfully and we can work through this like grown-ups. You know, do you need some time to yourself first, or can we start doing that now? Right, so you're giving him a choice. Do you want to keep acting like this, or do we want to start working on it together? If you find that those two approaches aren't enough, that's when it's time to get some help. But the reason I say that it's important for you to confront this, because marriage is meant to be a healing sacrament. It's meant to help us to heal all these different broken parts of ourselves. And God gave you to him to help in that healing process. Now, it's not your job to fix him, so I don't want you to feel like it's your fault if he's not fixed or if he's not willing to be fixed, but it's your job to be his partner in helping him get there. So it is better for you and for him if you confront this issue and address it directly, and if you're struggling to figure it out for yourselves, to start getting the help that you need to get past it, because that's how we cooperate with the grace of the sacrament and enable the sacrament to do the work it's created to do. By being that prophetic, strong woman of God that loves your husband enough to say, hey, I love you too much to let you keep doing this. Let's figure this out together. If there's more that we can do to support you and or any of you listeners in dealing with your emotions, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.